This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome to OK Sis Podcast.
Hi, sisters. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
I'm the older one.
Yes, Scout. We know.
Here at OK Sis, we believe women are multifaceted.
Which is why you can expect sisterly banter on a wide range of topics such as pop culture, our entrepreneurial journeys, and mental health routines.
We promise it'll be informative.
And silly.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood.
Hello and welcome back to OK Sis Podcast. My name is Madeline Rose Mayo.
My name is Scout Sophia Sobel. And do you want to know what we've been doing lately on podcast, Mads?
What?
We've been showing up in matching outfits. Like, we're like literally, like, we either wear all black or we're in neutral. Like, we are always in the same color, and it's weird. I don't know. Like, the last like 5 times I've met you on Zoom.
Because I've met you on Zoom. Because we have sister telepathy. That is why we feel so aligned.
What if we were twins?
We're not.
I know.
We're absolutely not.
We're so okay. That's good.
My whole body and nervous system is shutting down. Piece by piece.
Yeah. My whole body is actively growing moment by moment.
Yeah. You're growing and I'm depleting. That's where we are.
I'm growing and you're like degenerating. What's it called? Like
degenerating. Oh, I have a big update. I have a big, big update. I texted you this sneak peek update. I have officially changed my top 3 celebrity crushes.
I mean it's a big update, but I'm not quite sure he fits in like the celebrity category, but yes, continue.
I would disagree, but okay. Jay Shetty is now in my top 3. I think he's number 3. So we got
Bill Hader.
Actually, honestly, I'm really mad at Bill Hader these days. Having some beef with him. So
is it because he keeps just like hopping girls lately?
No, it's because he keeps ignoring us. Hold on.
Ow. Oh my God. Maddie just, was that a sneeze or a cough? Whatever she did, she just literally punched herself in the nose while she was sneezing and coughing, sisters. Like, that was, I'm not recording the Zoom. I'm not recording the video of this.
Oh no. Oh my God. Wait, what was that? My body is shut.
Was that a sneeze or a cough?
I thought it was a sneeze, but I guess it was just a cough. Okay, so Bill Hader, Timothy Tay, and then I think Jay Shetty. He's sneaking in there. I think what it is that his eyes are like so mesmerizing. I feel like, you know, I think the third was like a rotating Noah Centineo, Miles Teller, John Krasinski. It was like just, you know, what I felt on the day of. Yeah, Jay Shetty, like one, his piercing blue eyes. I feel like he could just like hypnotize me. He has like the perfect brain and he's like hot. So like, I just think it's like all the whole package.
Yeah, I see it for you. And we think he's so cute with his wife and stuff.
And like, you could tell that he's like, oh my God, I love his wife. I would love to.
We've been saying that we want her on and yet we have not initiated contact with her.
We'll initiate some contact, but it is literally a light. If you ever are in a dark place, go to, what's her name? Roddy.
She's so cute.
Just go to Jay Shetty and then you'll find Roddy. And she is just, she puts out the best content. She's so light and adorable. And I'm so jealous of their marriage. And I have a feeling that Jay Shetty is like a very attentive, beautiful lover.
Oh my God. I'm like totally picturing what you're saying.
Do you think he like talks about like mindset shifts?
This is exactly how we're getting his wife on, by talking about how her husband is in bed. This is exactly how this happens for us. Good, good.
He's
good.
Probably so love leader.
Good strategic work.
This is, yeah, this is a strategy. All right. So we do have a guest today.
We do have a guest today. I can give you an update on my body if you want.
Sure.
Well, so sisters, we are batching content so that Scoutala over here can take a couple weeks off recording to be a new mama. So by the time this comes out, I like could have a baby. I don't know. I'm not looking at my editorial calendar. But in this present moment, baby is breech. And so her head, her legs and her hands are all in the same corner and they're all punching and kicking me at the same time.
Cute.
It's painful.
Yeah, that sounds like she's in distress.
I think she's having a grand old time.
She's having a party in there.
She's just like, ooh, cozy, woohoo, woohoo. She's just loving woo-hoo. Life, I think, to be honest. That's the kind of vibe I'm getting, but I'm not.
I see. So motherhood starts early.
Motherhood starts early.
Where the kid is getting what she wants and it's painful for the mother.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much it. Also, I was realizing that like from here on out, when she wants something, I have to give her money.
I know. You know what I mean? I think about that too. Like, remember we were like, hey, like, can I have $20 to go to the movies?
Yeah. Like when she's 10 and she wants to go with her friends, I have to like give her money to do that.
Yeah, but there's no cash anymore. So she's going to have a debit card when she's like 7.
Yeah, she's going to have a debit card when she's like literally 7.
That's so nuts. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. I'm so excited to learn about the newest technology with her. I always feel like parents, like you think parents are the ones that are like, oh, we're so, you know, we're older, so we don't know. But it's like, no, they're plugged in. Like, remember we learned about TikTok from dad's fishing friends because his daughters were on TikTok and like he knew about TikTok.
But also, so it's like it's going to be different for our generation because our generation grew up with technology.
Yeah, so you'll be more able to.
Yeah, like dad's generation, like it was such a curve for them to understand what we were doing, but it's not going to be like as much of a curve for us to understand what the young generation is doing from a technological standpoint because
I know, but what I'm saying more is that you're gonna like be in the know. Like she's gonna be the perfect like case study. Like we're gonna be like,
oh, she's gonna make me cool on OK Sis because I'm gonna know.
Yeah, that is what I'm saying.
Got it. Okay, cool. Okay, sisters, we have a fabulous guest. We have Megs from Get Stoned. She is a celebrity makeup artist. She is an influencer and content creator, but she's also the entrepreneur behind Get Stoned, which is a rhinestone brand that is used as a beauty accessory. You might have seen her rhinestones on Euphoria. You might have seen her rhinestones mask on Ariana Grande. She's in Urban Outfitters. I met her on a panel, and she is just my type of girl. She jumps in, she figures it out, she's strategic, she's passionate, she's got such a fucking good work ethic, and the way she thinks about her niche really excites me. Like, she kind of brings all that out in the end, but she's just fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It was a delightful conversation. I like her energy. She's my kind of energy.
She's a Mads energy. She's not really a Scout energy.
She's a definite Mads energy. Yeah. Very vibrant, and she looked fucking fire. We looked like we were like sewer rats, but she came sickly through with the fucking ring light. We looked sickly. Yeah. Honestly, like our skin just like it was like a gray.
It looks like we have jaundice or something. I don't know what's going on with us today.
It was like a gray color compared to hers. Like,
yeah, she had a whole ring light thing. She's a makeup artist, so she had it all. Really great, but she lives in Palm Springs, so we're all gonna hang in Palm Springs and maybe like she'll bedazzle us head to toe. That would be fucking sick.
I almost sneezed.
Oh my God, what is wrong with your fucking body? Okay, sisters, introducing Megs to the podcast.
Oh my gosh. Oh, she's connected. Oh.
Okay, here we go.
Fuck.
Megs.
What do you mean?
Megs.
We didn't come prepared.
Megs, what's going on with your lighting and why didn't you warn us? Because look at us.
I told her this would be on video, but like, fuck, we obviously didn't get the memo ourselves.
Well, I'm a creator, you're in the space and you've been doing like lighting videos for years. It just comes naturally to like set it up. I just have one light in front of me, but.
You know what? I was kind of wondering if you were going to come stoned and you didn't come stoned.
I know. I feel like during the week, like I'm just like running around with so many things, like juggling the different businesses and stuff. So like for today, I was like, oh my gosh, I just need to like get ready and all that. So yeah, I'm not stoned right now, but I'm normally in a stoned moment.
So sisters, ooh, we're not talking about marijuana because Mads and I don't really dabble in the weed. We all know this. We're talking about Meg's business, Get Stoned, where she like bedazzles the fuck out of her face with incredible rhinestones. But let me back up real quick. So Megs and I were on a panel together about 2 weeks ago. That's where we met. We were on the San Diego Business Babes panel, which was so amazing. And
yeah,
the minute Megs opened her mouth and started talking, I almost stopped the panel and was like, is everybody paying attention? Because this chick is so wicked smart. Like, that's what came to mind. I was like, this girl is wicked smart. And I don't know if you thought that about yourself, but you should, because the way you talked and explained your business from celebrity makeup artist to content creator to business owner to Euphoria using all of your rhinestones, the way you think about your career is amazing. So can you just introduce yourself to everybody and tell them what you do?
Of course. But first of all, thank you so much. Yeah, that panel was great. And Scout did come up to me after and she told me that. I never really thought, I was telling my fiance too, I was like, you know, one thing that I was telling him about you, and I was like, Scout came up to me and Lisa too. And I was like, they kept using the word smart, which I've just never, not that I don't think I am smart, but I've just never really heard it in that way. And it was just like a really cool way to think of like how I process my business and how I go about things. So I really appreciate you coming up to me, first of all. But yes, hi everyone. I'm Megs Cahill. So my career has evolved over time. I'm 25 years old, so you guys kind of get a gist. So speaking of my career kind of shooting off right at 18, I went into professional makeup artistry right away with large influencers and smaller scale celebrities, traveled the world with them. Then that kind of transferred into content creation and becoming a beauty influencer, as you would say, as that industry just started to boom and rise, as a lot of people know. And then from there, the pandemic hit, and that kind of turned into me slowing down from the pro artistry and amping up the content creation as we were all home. And then that turned into my business, Get Stoned, rhinestones, that is, as Scout said. But yeah, so I just had this evolution. And with me being 25, it's like I've already lived so many lives. And I think I've just learned so much. And I've been like a sponge and just tried to, you know what I mean, absorb all these things, make notes, and really be aware of my surroundings. And I think that's part of the thing that's helped me evolve so quickly at a young age. But yeah, so now I'm mainly focusing on the business. It's booming right now. You know, like you mentioned, Euphoria, we had a viral Ariana Grande moment. We're stocked in Patrick Ta's kits. That means Bella Hadid, Gigi Hadid, Camila Cabello, all of them. Being in Urban Outfitters, being in Dolls Kills, that expanding. And then on top of that, being a content creator myself and growing on TikTok being my main platform and seeing the brand partnerships and the income you can make there is insane. So kind of juggling these two worlds that in a way actually intertwine, as the business side is so content creation heavy now. So I feel like that kind of gave me the leg up. But yeah, so just so much, so many different things. I feel like I've lived so many different lives and yeah, just taking it every day, you know?
We love a woman who has her little fingers in many different things. Also, I just love, first of all, I'm a TikTok girly as well. Scout is not emotionally available for TikTok. So she just, you know, is missing out, is what I'm trying to say. But what I love is that you've connected the content creation and your own personal brand with your business, which is something I have also been able to do and feel like that is the way of the future. Talk to me about your experience on TikTok, because I like to talk to content creators. I think there is such a vulnerability that people, unless you are a creator, you really do not understand the like piercing rawness that you feel when you are posting something and putting yourself out there. How do you deal is what I think my question is, because all of us feel this, you know, sense. So I want to hear what your like internal process is when you're posting content.
Oh yeah. You know, so even though, like I said, I'm 25, but I really started posting on YouTube when I was 15, just sporadically, as in being an OG watcher of like Candy Johnson, Michelle Phan, like that kind of era. So I feel like I've experienced different platforms, going from YouTube being like such a loving community. Yeah, there's hate on YouTube too, but back in the day when the beauty community was really starting to pick up that traction, it was very supportive. Then you go into Instagram and, you know, Instagram had some really good days. And now we're into TikTok and it's a whole different world. But I would say I find I love and hate TikTok. I feel like I love it because I feel that sense of like community in a sense again, and like discoverability, like you can reach so many more people. With that being said, you reach so many people to where you reach people that may not be in your niche or just people who are not educated on your topics. And I would be lying if I said that stuff doesn't get to me at times, especially because it's like the stupidest stuff that people are commenting about. For example, I have a very asymmetrical face, and I've recently had some stuff done to help me with my jaw, fixing that, because I also have a bad TMJ with it being asymmetrical. But no one fails on TikTok to like point out these like random ass features. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, her face is completely crooked or stuff like that. Or I do struggle with cystic acne. I also have cystic ovaries and cystic fibrosis in my breast. So I've struggled with acne my whole life. I've been on Accutane 3 doses higher than my weight class. So I've really been through it with acne. So now as an adult, it's starting to, I'm getting that second wave. So it's coming back, but it's just funny because people are commenting, like, I'll say like, oh, I'm having a breakout, and you know, to each their own, but I've been through the worst of it. And I'm talking cysts that swell your face. Like, I've had it where on my forehead swollen, one of my eyes shut. It was so bad. So it's just funny. Like, people just judge you from 30 to 60 to 3 minutes on TikTok. And they just run with these comments. And it's like, babe, you don't know me at all. You don't know my past. You don't know anything about me. You're judging me on this 30 seconds of me covering one pimple. So you can't judge my whole life right now. But it's like stupid stuff that you wouldn't even argue in your daily life. And they're always the most random people making these comments too.
Right. In those moments where you kind of feel off your confidence, how do you persevere and stand in that?
I mean, part of that is like taking a step back from the phone. An example, like I've talked about this before, but a big thing for me is like reflecting. Is this really worth my time? This person who's in, say, middle America, I've never met, will never meet, maybe they're 12 years old. Like, why are you commenting? But it does, it gets to you. So I'm heated in the moment to where sometimes I almost want to make like a response video, just like going in on someone, just because I am a sarcastic. I have that sarcastic nature and I love to pull that out. But then I have to stop and reflect and be like, look, dude, like you're online. People save things forever too. You have to be really smart with how you respond. And the best thing for me is to take a step away and kind of like reconnect with like, okay, I have like my own personal life and the online life is another section of that. So sometimes you have to like, in a sense, may sound silly, but like ground yourself and like take you back to reality and be like, do we know this person? We can delete their comment. Like, I have the right to keep what I want on my page and what I don't. I think a lot of people on TikTok forget that. You choose what lives in your community. So I don't want them there. So I have to take the moment, calm down. And then if it's a bad enough comment to where I've seen that they're doing it multiple times, I'll block them.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Mads and I haven't talked about this on the podcast, but I went viral on Instagram and got like a lot of hate for a video that my sister posted of me. Because
which one?
What do you mean?
Oh,
we've never debriefed on this. So I...
Right. Well, let's just say... We could say...
Yeah, no, we're going to debrief right now. The other day, my cousin looked at me and asked if I got a treatment in my hair. I said no, but I am taking Nutrafol. You see, sisters, I had some shedding issues postpartum when it came to my hair, so I made it my mission to support my hair growth and strengthen my hair. I mean, Mads, you saw my hair last time I was up in LA, and you even complimented me. Which, sisters, you know that when Mads compliments me, it's a big deal.
I do have to give this one to you, Scout. Your hair is looking thick, strong, and beautiful. When it comes to hair thinning, it's complicated. The problem is, it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker and stronger hair.
Every morning after I eat breakfast, I take 4 pills and it becomes a seamless addition to my morning routine. But the reason I decided to go with Nutrafol when supporting my hair health is that Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Oh, also, Nutrafol makes the best Mother's Day present, especially for new moms. The perfect way to show them that you care about their postpartum support.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OKSIS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled NutrafoL.com, promo code OKAYSIS. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS.
Okay.
We're gonna debrief right now.
So okay. I have always wanted the Prada baby diaper bag my whole life, like since I was 15. Yeah. And my mother surprised me and my sister surprised me with it a couple months ago.
Oh my God.
And I'm pregnant. I'm emotional. I'm hormonal. I asked for it in the beginning of my pregnancy. And then I was like, you know what? No, don't get it for me. Like, I have so many other expenses. You know, I got to pay for X, Y, and Z. Like, I'd rather you guys' gift go towards something else, whatever. And so but I was so bummed that I did that because I have a problem asking for things. And so they surprised me with it. And obviously I start crying hysterically because I've wanted this bag since I was like 15 years old. And I make a joke that I had a baby to get this bag. While I'm crying.
Like in the video, she's like, I literally wanted a baby because of this bag. And she's like crying. And it's so funny.
It's so funny. And it's such a like a wholesome, like gratitude, shocking moment. Maddie filmed it, put it on Instagram. Didn't even know, whatever. We're recording a podcast. And then someone texts me and they're like, someone from like work, like a work colleague, not that works for me, but in the industry or whatever. And she's like, by the way, I felt your video on a visceral level. I'm totally with you. And I'm in the comments fucking off with the haters. Like I'm telling them all to fuck off. And I'm like, what haters? What are you talking about? And we open up Instagram and like, I'm what's wrong with America. They can't believe that I had a baby to get a bag. Like, are you like, hello, I did not have a baby to get a bag. All this stuff. And it was such a barrage. And to be honest, I handled it pretty well because Mads and I have been doing this for 4 years. And I think a podcast review hits much harder because they actually listen to you for a long time. And so it's not like 30 seconds, but we got a barrage of comments, just people annihilating me. And I handled it pretty well. Until someone personally judged me in my life that I know, and then I was upset. But when the swarm comes, it's a very weird situation to navigate. We ended up taking it down because I didn't want that energy around my baby or my Prada diaper bag that I love so much. But it's an interesting thing to navigate at times, especially as business owners and content creators at the same time.
At the same time, because you're like, you're literally getting personally attacked when it's like, wait, this is my business. This is my career. It's like weird.
No, I don't think people really understand. And it is hard, but especially being more of a growing up in like a sarcastic, like jokester family, like, you know, we just do like stupid shit and it's just whatever. So like for you, one, I'm a bad girl. I have a bag addiction and I have a collection. So I personally feel your diaper bag moment, but it's like also like, who really thought you were serious? You know what I mean? Like, it's so hard nowadays. People are like, I don't want to say so sensitive, but in a sense, there's just like not as much humor in the world as much either, or like lightheartedness. Like, not everything has to be so direct, so serious. You know what I mean? So it is hard to like teeter that line too of being like fun and cheeky without someone, you know, there's always going to be someone though that has an opinion on whatever. But like with the bag thing, like that's insane. Like obviously not.
Yeah. Also, like there's a lot cheaper ways for me to just get the bag than have a baby, right? Like I could have just bought the bag and used it.
Yeah.
But Mads and I were like, if there was a guy posting in front of his car, no one would say anything and they'd be like stoked for him.
Yeah.
Okay. So we talked a little about the content creation, but you've done three different career moves. Like you've been a makeup artist, you've been a content creator, and you've been an entrepreneur with a product-based business.
Yes.
Which one is the most difficult?
Oh man, I feel like they all have pros and cons. Okay, so when I was about 3 or 4 years old, I had photos of me coloring my cousins with like eyeliners and lip liners. Like I just had this natural knowledge for makeup. I don't know what it was. I also paint. So things that are artistic like that just like naturally come to me. So for makeup, it was like a second nature of the actual learning of it. And then like perfecting it was quite easy for me. What tore me down in that industry was the clients and the demand and working for other people, and not working for other people as in like boss girl, working in other people as in like when you're working for large influencers, celebrities, stuff like that, like you're on their beck and call. Like I was living on a tour bus in the UK for a month and a half. So like you have to dedicate when you're really going to be in pro artistry in the sense of the celebrity or influencer world, you're really at someone's beck and call, which some people are down for. Some people just love makeup so much and it's just everything they want. But for me, I found myself, I am also just someone who doesn't like to be told what to do in general. So I loved it until it got too demanding or people start crossing boundaries or it starts out as, oh my God, we love you so much. And then you start to see these layers of these certain people peel back. And I just don't identify with certain things in the industry, certain ways people get ahead. A lot of people have drug addiction, anxiety, depression. And, you know, we all struggle with those kinds of things, but I'm talking about like to the max, to where it's affecting your energetic field as an artist. And you got to think as a makeup artist, have you ever walked up to a stranger and been 5 inches away from their face? No. As a makeup artist, I may not know you and I'm going to be 5 inches away from your nose. And you, as someone, I'm very spiritual. My mom is from the Netherlands and all my Netherlands family are all psychic. I'm the only one in America that has it. So it's a struggle for me with makeup when you're starting to be around someone who's going through a toxic time or maybe just has, you know what I mean? Not the best intentions. I pick up on it and then it drains me. For makeup, I love the artistry aspect. If I like for my own photo shoots doing makeup, I'm totally cool with because I get full control. I get to be creative. I get to, you know, paint this image of how I want the makeup to look in the photos with my stones and stuff like that. But the hardest part for me was the clientele, the stress of weddings, also with being spiritual, past loved ones coming through. It was just overwhelming for me. So I loved the artistry, but the demand was too much. Driving to LA every day was too much. I did not live in LA. I was driving an hour and a half and then taking 3 hours to get home in traffic. Clients not really respecting that time. So that kind of tore that down slowly to where I personally had to step back. For influencing, look, it's something I've always wanted as a young age. I grew up acting, singing, and dancing, always being on stage, always performing. And I feel like being an influencer and teaching makeup and doing these, you know, fun curated videos, like I do video editing now and stuff like that, it kind of plays into my younger, like theatrical background of the production aspect of like doing plays and stuff like that. So with being an influencer, like I love connecting with people. One, I love creating. The hard part about that is the demand for so much content, seeing the industry change over time, and really, in the nicest way, having people that you meet and up front, they seem like such a pure person and you want to support them. And then you find out behind closed doors, they're just trying to step on you to get to the next level, stuff like that. There's a lot in the beauty industry specifically. There is a lot of money hungry people, power hungry people, influencers just wanting fame. They don't care about anything else. So there are a lot of dark spaces within this beautiful community as well. So that's been hard to navigate. But over the years, luckily, I've been able to navigate. And I think just like being your true self and like saying to yourself is the best thing. For one example, I would say like when I'm on set, like I'm going to treat the janitor the same as the director because you just never know where your next job is going to come from. And you should just genuinely be a nice human. Like that should be second nature to be respectful of everyone's job positions and stuff like that. And there are people that become an influencer and get that entitlement and those things change. So it has been hard to navigate that kind of stuff, but there's so many perks like freedom to do what you want, getting large gigs, like a short, like a day's work, getting what some people's salary are in a year. It's insane, but those things are able to allow me to leverage the third thing, my business. So there's a lot of perks with being an influencer, but you have to have really tough skin and you have to know how to navigate the industry in a positive way, knowing where not to get involved in. With business, you know, I kind of always been entrepreneurial since I was a child, but now with having like an actual product base, I think this part is honestly my most favorite. Getting to have this vision in my head and make it come to life with a photo shoot, with product packaging, and then to get that to the consumers and get their feedback is amazing. Like seeing people wear something you made is like such an amazing feeling that your brain came up with this one concept and hundreds of people want that in their hands. I just think it's so beautiful. It's taxing owning your own business is a 24/7 job. Like, I have to say, it's true. And it is more of a hustle to get those sales. It's more of a hustle to get the customers. You got to do email marketing. You got to do social media marketing. You got to do the back end shipping, packaging, logistics, all that stuff. And I had to crash course and learn how to bootstrap a business so quickly. And I'm still growing to this day. And that's something I'm really honest about with my business. I'm not someone who has an investor and has someone guiding me. It's really me crash coursing, and I'm going to make mistakes, but I'm going to do my best throughout this. But I would say the business adventure has been like my baby right now.
I love that. And so in the beginning of this conversation, you said, or Scout had told you that you're really smart, and you were taken by that comment. So I really want to touch on that, because that is something that I struggle with a lot, as well as a limiting belief of mine. And what I'm hearing from you is you believe you're smart. It's just that it's in a different way because you're so creative. There is this whole, you know, there's beauty, there's artistry in what you're doing. And smart is like maybe not the adjective that people put with that. Whereas now you're walking into this realm of business and you're able to leverage that smartness in a different way. What has your relationship been to the word smart then? And how has it evolved? Because that's a huge limiting belief in me. I'm always like, I'm not smart enough. I'm not going to be able to figure this out, or I'm not going to sound smart. My biggest fear is sounding dumb. Like, that's literally my biggest fear. And I have to literally write in my journal every single day, I am brilliant. I am so smart. I am smart enough, and things like that. But I want to hear what your relationship was to that, going from such a creative space to more of a business.
I guess like the word smart, I just feel like, you know, I didn't go to college. I had no desire to, like you said, being a creative. I always knew that being an entrepreneurial mindset, because even being a makeup artist, you're still an entrepreneur. And I knew that that would take me places, but being called smart, I'm not kidding, Scout. Like, I really thought about this for a few days. And just because, you know, so my dad's a corrections officer, and he just is, one thing is like, he's always supported my creativity, but always wanted me to be in corrections as well, which I personally couldn't. I can't work in a prison with people like that. I just can't. It's like, I give props to those who can handle it, or to be a policewoman or stuff like that. And it just never stuck with me. So to hear, you know, you kind of associate smart with college and with, you know, just a lot of education, and where like the makeup artistry, I have education in that, and I am smart in those sense. But I don't know. I think I'm still having a little bit of imposter syndrome of jumping into like, I am an entrepreneurial boss. Like, I do really want to help guide other people, because I don't have, like I said, I've been kind of crash coursing my whole life through all these different topics, just jumping in with no fear. And I want to be that entrepreneurial mentor for other people. And it was just cool to hear that. I mean, look, I try to educate myself wherever I can, with whether that's even just with watching, like, for example, like advice on like tax things or like LLCs, or just learning more. And I feel like that has helped gain knowledge for me. I just, you know, with all the adjectives like, or things people have called me or referred to me as, like, smart is just a newer one. I think that is just back, like, piggybacking off of me having the imposter syndrome of being an entrepreneur now, and trying to learn how to step into that, like, I don't want to say boss babe, because I feel like people kind of make fun of like, boss babe, you know what I mean? But like really stepping into my own of like, I own a company, like, I'm making good money, like, I'm doing this on my own, like, this is amazing. And I've gained education to that. It's really that I just need to accept the word smart, but I think I'm still having that imposter syndrome of like, could that really be me? Just because I'm not a college grad. I don't, you know, look, like, I have ADHD. My mind is everywhere. Like, I just smart. I mean, I've gotten good grades in school and stuff, but I've had a really hard time focusing, because if it's not, I have the hyper focus and ADHD. So if I'm not focused, or it's not something I want to focus on, it's like hell trying to get me to do it. So it's just really like, that's a new one for me that I have to like learn to accept, you know, and step into.
I love that. I love that. That's a new one for me. I love that. It's like a new adjective people are calling me these days.
I'm being honest here, because it's like, you know, look, like, I got good grades and stuff like that. Like I said, I didn't go to college. So like when I think of smart, I just think of education, and my education is high school. And yeah, I got decent grades or good grades, but I wasn't in AP classes. I wasn't top of my class or anything. I hated school. High school was like the worst time for me. Like I was bullied a lot. I did not get along with people. I did not find my circle at all. Me doing YouTube was a huge target on my back of like, what do you think you're doing? Doing creative looks. You think that looks good? That looks like trash. What are you trying to do? Is this supposed to be a Halloween look? Like all those things were 4 years of that for me. So it's just like, I just never thought of myself in that way. And you know, it's just, I don't know. It's cool. It's a new phase of my life with the entrepreneurial side of really having a product-based business and doing e-commerce. So yeah, it's just, I don't know. Maybe that's a word I need to, you know, accept more now.
Yeah.
I think it's just stigma of having a hard time with when I think of school too.
I mean, I can just reflect why I felt that you were wicked smart on that panel was because you were doling out strategic advice when it comes to funneling content creation and virality and using one side hustle to promote a business and the way you were thinking yeah. about your finances and the way that you were thinking about the brand. And when the panelist was asking us questions, there were things that you were saying that were so tangible for people starting a business in the digital media space or in the content creation space or in the pop culture space, whatever it is, creative space, that it is very rare to meet a 25-year-old who is that intentional with her strategy. And you're incredibly intentional with your strategy. And mm-hmm. you were willing to share that strategy with so many people in a newer yeah. industry. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like there was,
yeah.
there was something incredibly strategic about the way you were speaking. And I was like, is everyone hearing this right now? Like for everyone who has a product-based business and who wants to leverage social, like this is it, you know what I'm saying? So I found it so one, your ambition and your work ethic and your drive, and then your ability to zoom out and be like, this is the industry, this is the strategy, this is where I want to go. And this is how I connect it all. Is incredibly yeah. self-aware. So while you say that you're jumping in, you're also very, you're like surveying, like you're very much mm-hmm. surveying what's going on. So
yeah,
can you tell us about when you first started Get Stoned and you had that first viral moment, what that was like for you and your business?
Yeah. So, I mean, I started in the beginning of 2020 and I already had lineups to sponsor other makeup brands parties for Coachella. So I hadn't even had a product out and just me verbally pitching to them, I already had bookings. So I was like, okay, this is going to work. And I was stoked. And then the pandemic hit and lockdown hit hard right away, you know, the 2 weeks. So that hit hard. So then I was like, what am I doing? So I guess I had that time of just trying to like figure it out. Then the viral moment is what really woke me up. Like I said, so I have the knowledge in the influencer side of like the capability to make money is insane in the influencer world. And it just scales with more followers you have and more engagement you have. So I knew with the product base, there was ways to leverage that money quickly by selling like say X amount a day, you can make this much money. I like the math of money in the entrepreneurial sense. Like it's like a game to try to like hit these goals for me. So when I had that viral moment, I actually reached out to a makeup artist to send him stones for his kit. And then he reached out to me and I was like, reached back and wanted them. And I was like, hey, I have some masks. Like as artists, you know, we're all masked up to do people's makeup because we're right in your face. And I would love to send you some fun ones. So you're not just wearing like, you know, a normal mask. You have something a little more jazzy and it has a filter in it and all that good stuff. So he's like, yeah, actually, would you mind sending me a few more? And I was like, yeah, of course. He's like, I have a client. I can't tell you who it is, but I think they'd love this. And I'm like looking through his feed and I'm like, oh my gosh, he has so many different celebrities. And then I'm like, okay, maybe it's this person, maybe it's that person. And I'm just chilling at home and I get a message and they're like, go to Ariana Grande's Instagram right now. And I'm like, wait, Ariana Grande, like what? So I open my phone and it's literally a selfie of her with her pigtails, just literally like looking straight in the camera, all Get Stoned mask is pretty much the whole photo. And it just popped off, like Pop Sugar picked it up, Daily Mail picked it up. And it was just crazy to see how fast, like she didn't personally tag me, but obviously I knew it was mine because I gifted her makeup artist. So as one tip I would give people, if you're trying to get your product-based stuff onto celebrities, go to the people around them, go to the stylist, go to the makeup artist, the hairstylist. The people who are dressing the artist is who you want to target, not the artist itself, because you're going to have to knock down a few doors to get to that artist. But if you can get to the people around, it's a lot quicker normally, and they can physically place your item on the person. So that's what I did here. And it was just amazing. And then once, like, she didn't tag me directly, but like I said, I knew because I gifted the artist, and then Daily Mail, Pop Sugar, and all that instantly connected to me. So all these articles, my website's being tagged, I'm being credited, I'm even being credited myself. There's a picture of me with my mask on the site right next to Ariana. It's just so cool to see, like, who would have known? And in that month, I made $50,000, and I couldn't believe it. And I was like, if I can make 50 grand within the first 6 months of opening my business, 50 grand in 1 month, I can do this. And it just really showed me the power of socials. And those moments, you have to, like, grab onto them. And one thing my fiance was saying, I was sold out. I was like, oh shoot, I didn't know it's gonna happen. I didn't have enough, you know, like, I'm a small business. I only ordered so much, and I have to have them custom tagged and all that. So my fiance was like, you know what? Say that you keep selling them and just order more now. And I was like, I can't say I'm keep selling them. I don't even have any. He's like, order 1,000 more. Say you're selling them, even though you're not, and you're just gonna blast an email to Bear with us. It'll be 2 weeks till you get it, whatever. And that's what we did. So that taught me, when you have those viral moments, you have to be ready and grab one of those customers ASAP, because if you don't, they're going to miss the moment. So it just taught me so much instantly. And then just seeing how much money was insane, because then I don't have an investor. So I got to put that money right back in and just grow it even farther. But viral moments, like, again, they're rare, but you have to jump onto them. And I'm so thankful for them.
I love that. Can I just ask, why rhinestones?
Okay. Yes.
Because I love the niche.
Also, Meg's, like, Mads and I are not makeup girlies.
Yeah, can you tell that?
No, I actually filled in my eyebrows this morning a little bit because I'm so pregnant that I was like, I don't feel great about, like, the vibe going on right now physically. So I put a little bit of a little something something on my eyes today, but that's, like, the extent, you know what I mean? So tell us why rhinestones, because educate the girls who have no idea what we're doing.
Yeah, so it's funny because I laugh about this all the time to my mom, because, you know, I grew up with, like, Ed Hardy, Jessica Couture, and, like, they had this rhinestones on everything. They were, like, little cheap plastic ones, but still, there was a time in the early 2000s where there was, like, through mid 2000s where rhinestones were hot. So for me, I grew up a competitive dancer. So when you're a competitive dancer, I grew up in the time, nowadays not so much, but when I was growing up, it was, like, a thing to have your costume as rhinestoned as possible. So it didn't make you a better dancer, but it was like, oh my God, did you see her costume? Like, she's gonna get extra points. Even though she probably didn't, it was just like this little thing we all had of, like, who could have the best rhinestones. With that being said, at the time, rhinestones weren't as accessible. Me and my mom would literally, like, try to find the best quality we could. We would go to people's houses, like, they were literally like a rhinestone dealer, go into, like, the back room in their house and, like, open a little packet with, like, 20 rhinestones. And they're like, okay, do you want these or these? And we're like, okay, like, I'm not kidding. This was like a hunt as a child. And the more competitive, really well-known studios always had those, like, highest quality stuff. So we try to, like, sneak and find them, like, where their vendors were. But it was literally, I kid you not, like, 20 rhinestones were probably like $25. So you're paying almost a dollar for just one rhinestone. So when it comes down to, say you have 20 rhinestones, right? That's going to be like just the little strap. So if you have a whole costume or a whole leotard or a dress, you need a ton. At the time, my dad wasn't in corrections yet. He was working two jobs and my mom was working full time as well. And me and my sister were both dancing. So you have a fee to do your dance. You have a fee for your costume. And then you also have a rhinestone fee. So if you can't afford all those fees, and they might be like, we want to put you in 15 dances. And then as a parent, you're like, 15 fees. 15 costume fees, 15 rhinestone fees, entry fees. There's just so much stuff.
There's a fucking rhinestone fee.
I know. It didn't even become about the dance anymore. It came about, can you afford the costume? So there was just certain times where, like, we couldn't do as much as we wanted because we couldn't afford it. Or for our solos, like, I spaced out, like, one rhinestone, like, 2 inches, one rhinestone, 2 inches. But, like, afford to do the whole strap. And I think part of me, like, now as an adult, like, I look back and I think I kind of do the rhinestones for my younger self in a sense of, like, I wish I could have had that fully rhinestone costume. I wish my sweatsuit and my dance bag could have been rhinestone, but, like, it just wasn't. Or if it was, they were like plastic stones. They weren't glass high quality Swarovski crystals. So fast forward to being on tour, I found a rhinestone vendor, and I remember being like, wow, if I had this back in the day, you know? So I convinced my artist I was on tour with at the time if I could put rhinestones on her face while she was on stage, because she wanted glitter and stuff. And I did, and she just loved it. And I was seeing them on stage, and I was like, damn, they just shine so different than glitter. And then fast forward to, I had my rave days when in my younger 20s. And I remember I'd go to raves and girls, because people spend a lot of money on their costumes, their hair, all that stuff. People would, or girls would grab me and be like, why doesn't my glitter look like yours? And I'd be like, girl, it's not glitter. That's why they're rhinestones, and they're a certain quality. So I noticed that everyone liked it. And then Euphoria season one hit. I didn't watch the season right away, to be honest. And then I saw the uproar for the makeup community. And then I was like, people are running to Amazon and buying plastic. Swarovski just discontinued all of their loose flatback rhinestones. So who's going to fill the gap? So in my head, I'm like, well, I have all the connections in the beauty space. Let's niche these rhinestones down, and I'll fill the gap of affordable, high-quality rhinestones. And that's what I did. And once I started getting out there, I got noticed quickly. Then when it came to season two of Euphoria, the makeup artist reached out to me and said, look, I've been buying on cheap stones, and I would rather support a small woman-owned business and actually have high-quality product. Would you sponsor season two? And I sent her every rhinestone I could find. And then season two hit.
Wow.
Yeah, season two hit, and that was my second, like, really viral moment. I made $15,000 in an hour. Blew my mind.
I just love it when women talk about how much money they make in an hour or a day or a month. It's so great. Like, it, like, fills my heart up. Well, there's a lot that you just said, but when a girl says how much money she makes specifically, I'm like, please continue. It's like talking dirty to me, I feel like. I love it so much.
It's not like that every day. It's not like that every month. It's not, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars every year necessarily. But I feel like there's also just this crazy stigma about talking about money. And part of that, I think, comes from how a lot of us were raised of either being tighter on money or just talking about money is tacky, or like in the nicest way, like, you know, we have like generational family trauma and stuff like that, of some being like jealous of certain money stats and stuff like that. So that kind of passes down. So that's, I just feel like, you know, look, like, I wish people would be more transparent, and not in a cocky way, nothing like that, but for like educational purposes, and just being like, look, like, I'm not a man owning a business getting paid X, Y, and Z. Like, I'm a woman who's hustling the industry, and I've had these viral moments. That doesn't mean the next day I made another 15,000 every hour, but that day was a really proud moment. And that showed me that I can leverage this even farther and do it again.
I cannot believe that Euphoria, that's like, talk about right timing, perfect product, like complete white space. Like, it's just so perfect, and everything was aligned.
And it's all because, you know, little Megs needed rhinestones when she was little.
Yeah, and I, it's cool to, like, people are like always like, you know, why? I'm like, anyone can sell them. Like, literally anyone can find, I mean, obviously you have to know what to look for. You have to know the materials, the facet cuts, all that stuff.
Yeah, no, you have expertise.
Yeah, like you have to know, it's with anything, you know what I mean? But it's how you do it. And just like, oh man, I feel like I got this sweet spot in the nicest way. I really don't, in the beauty space specifically, I really don't have any competitors of anyone who sells just stones.
Wow.
Brands try to sell stones, but they're plastic. They're not glass, and they don't have a high facet cut. Mm. But they don't necessarily know that because they're in the makeup space, which, yes, I'm in the makeup space, but I also have education on rhinestones for like crafting. So I can hit both markets. And since I have the beauty background, I'm able to infiltrate. And because this isn't a lipstick, this isn't a blush, I'm not competitive with beauty brands. I'm an accessory to the beauty brands. Therefore, I can partner with as many beauty brands as I want and do it over and over and over again. And every time it'll still be accepted because I'm not competing. I'm being an accessory.
This is what I meant when I said wicked smart. This is what I meant.
Wicked smart.
I'm used to being like, I know I'm street smart, especially with like my dad being like a corrections officer. Like, I'm very aware of my surroundings at all time. Like, if I'm in an airport, I know where everyone is, what's going on, whether I know you or not, things like that. But I think going back to the smart thing, when you said smart, I just think book smart. Mm. And then I know I'm street smart, but like, there's just different things. I think all this stuff I've just learned from like life experiences. And I think with my dad being in corrections, it has made me so aware of my surroundings, which has transferred into being aware of like in a room with work stuff. You know what I mean? Not just of safety, of like being aware of what's going on, where people are moving, why are they doing that, what's the goal here, and being able to observe and, you know, move cautiously.
Yeah, I feel like there's three different types of smarts. We need to add one, because there is book smart, there is street smart, but there's also business smart. And I think that needs to be added, because I think book smart and street smart doesn't cover all of the smarts. Yeah. You know what I mean? Doesn't cover it all. Yeah. Okay, Mads, should we ask our favorite question?
Yes. So we ask every woman that comes on OK Sis this question.
Oh, gosh.
If you could get ready. If you could brag about one thing in your life and you can't be humble, what would you brag about?
Oh, gosh. If I could brag about one thing in my life. Like, honestly, I would say like the business. Like, I was able to hit 6 figures within 6 to 8 months of my business. Like, starting a brand new business, not having any prior knowledge in business besides like service base, to going into e-commerce and sending a product, and just having already a profitable business within the first year. I mean, I took $300 and flipped it into over $100,000.
I love that.
Someone put that on a quote. I took $300 and I flipped it into $100,000. That's incredible.
You should make that a t-shirt.
Yeah.
A t-shirt with rhinestones.
With rhinestones. Well, that's what I'm really excited. We're actually jumping into but it's still really like just me doing most of this. And I have my social girls, but next year, that's one of my goals, is to infiltrate the apparel industry.
Yes. Let's get back to the Ed Hardy, Juicy Couture vibes. Let's like bling out our iPhone cases. Remember how we used to do that with our Sidekicks and our BlackBerry? Oh, there it goes.
Oh, yep. My God. That's yep, so yep, good. Yep. We wanted.
So good.
I told Megs I wanted her to bling out my belly, but we didn't plan it in time. So
we met too late.
We met too late. Like, my pregnant belly would have been so fucking good. It would have been hilarious. Okay.
So
Megs,
crazy.
Will you tell everybody where they can find you and get stoned and all the good stuff?
Yes. So you guys can find my personal content creation. My main platform is TikTok, and that handle is TheMegsCahill. Normally, if you just search Megs, M-E-G-S, it'll come up. But TheMegsCahill also on Instagram as well. I feel like Instagram is the best platform if you want to like connect with me through DMs and such. But if you want to watch and learn my makeup content or enjoy my life, then I would go to TikTok. For Get Stoned, you guys can shop us at getstoned.com. That's 2 N's, not 1 N, 2 N's. And then we are on Instagram and TikTok as well. And you could probably find them on your favorite celebrities too.
Yay, beautiful. Yeah. Thank you, Levin. You can find us sisters at OK Sis Podcast. We love you.
Thank you.
Do you ever feel like you're struggling through motherhood? You're not alone. I'm Erica Jossa, host of the MomWell podcast, therapist and mom of three. Join me each Wednesday as I sit down with guests, including psychologists, pediatricians, psychiatrists, fertility specialists, lactation consultants, and more, to unravel the myths of motherhood. With expert advice, practical tips, self-love, and some coping skills to help you along the way, you can become the mother you want to be. Listen to the MomWell podcast at momwell.com/listen or on your favorite podcast platform.